Yeah, thank you so much, Jim, for praying. I appreciate all those good words. It's good to spend some more time with you. My name is Steve McCoy. My wife, Andrea, is over here. And so I appreciate her involvement in my ministry all these years. And she's always had to listen to me. And, you know, one of the most difficult, challenging positions in a church is being the pastor's wife. They knew too much and they can't do a whole lot about it. But anyway, she's been a faithful partner, and we appreciate that very much. My wife and I moved to Frisco about 3.5 years ago, and our daughter and her family moved here around the same time as well. And she was moving into a new house, and so Dad was helping her, and I was trying to put some things way up in a closet. I was standing on a stool, big, huge box, small environment. And I came down, and you know what happened is the ankle got wrenched, and woo, I felt it. And of course, all my medical knowledge, I thought, well, this thing was just sprained. Well, it turned black, it turned blue, it turned purple, it turned green, it turned yellow, and all those kinds of things. And I was, well, to put it lightly, I was bummed out. I was bummed out because it hurts. It ached. I was bummed out because, well, it slowed me down. I don't like to be slowed down. I was bummed out because I was limping, and I didn't think I was ever going to stop limping. Plus, we had planned to be gone for a month on a vacation, and most of that was going to be on our feet. I said, this is not good. So to put it mildly, my think tank was running really low. To be even more honest, it was totally empty. And many times we go through times when thankfulness is really not part of our makeup. And then we have this Bible verse. Do we have a PowerPoint on there? Okay. There it is. Ephesians 5:20. Always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if you're like me, you're thankful most of the time. Some of the time, when good things happen, we're thankful. But all of a sudden, something bad happens. I wasn't in a very good, thankful mood. And perhaps as we move into this Thanksgiving season, which is what Thanksgiving's, what, 10, 11 days away? And maybe something's happened in your life and your think tank is running really low or it's totally empty. Maybe something the doctor told you this last week, this last month. Maybe something at work, an employer. We have a number of people in our circle of friends who are looking for jobs. They would like to have an employer tell them something. Perhaps it's been something that happens in your family. And we all have family issues. And the think tank runs lower and lower and lower. Well, that's why this morning I'm going to be sharing with you how to refill your think tank. I'm the type of person that, you know, I acknowledge I've got this issue going on, but how do I solve it? And I come to the scriptures and I need help. And I love this passage of scripture in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 18, 19, 20, and 21, which teaches me on how to refill this think tank that runs empty or it's not even there as well. So if you're struggling with that this holiday season, then hopefully God can speak to your heart as well on refilling the think tank. Now, this is a very austere group of people. You're very familiar with the scriptures. You know the book of Ephesians has 6 chapters, isn't that right? The first 3 is a very doctrinal-oriented section. It tells us our place in Christ. The second 3 chapters, 4, 5, and 6, tells us our duty, how to live that out. The first 3 chapters is about our position in Christ, and tremendous truth there. The second 3 chapters about practice. How do you live this out? Now, as we move into Ephesians 5, 18, 19, 20, and 21, it's a section on how to say no to our old nature and yes to our new nature. And as we do that, we find that we need to learn to walk in wisdom. So with that all echoing in the background, the Apostle Paul moves into this incredible section. Now, we looked at Ephesians 5, 20. We'll come back to it. But let's move back up to 5:18, Ephesians 5:18. The Apostle Paul says, do not get drunk on wine. Why? It leads to debauchery, and we'll talk about that a little bit later here. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. So the Apostle Paul is using a negative illustration, do not be drunk with wine, to teach a positive truth. He's using an alcoholic illustration to teach us a pneumatic truth. It's a powerful illustration to teach us about the filling of the Holy Spirit. So right off the bat, he says, do not get drunk with wine. Now, what happens when a person gets filled with alcohol? Well, all kinds of strange things happen. And he tells us, don't do it. Don't get drunk. Drunkenness is wrong. Drunkenness is sin. And the reason is because you begin to lose control of yourself. If we can just pause here for a moment on the whole idea of do not get drunk with wine, let's think through what happens when a person does get drunk with wine. Well, initially they feel better. The stress is relieved. They feel good. We see signs along the road that says, happy hour, welcome. And for a moment they are happy. But then as they continue, things happen. The mouth begins to be loosened up. They begin to say things that probably they should not say. They begin to use language that they probably should not use. They tell jokes they probably should not be telling because the mouth has lost the inhibitions. And that's what happens in drunkenness. These inhibitions are released. They're laughy and giggly and happy. And if they're angry, they really get angry because all of that is being released. When it comes to the eyes, a little blurry, a little fuzzy there, and they happen to slip behind the wheel of a car, and they get pulled over. The police officer will take a breath analyzer or have them walk the line, and they can't quite do it because they've lost control of their functions. Judgment is affected. That's why sometimes they will get behind the wheel of a car, and they should not. In the worst-case scenario, they just pass out. So the Apostle Paul says, do not get drunk on wine. So we're picking this up. In short, because they act abnormal, they act unnatural. And he throws that little phrase in there, which leads to debauchery. I don't know about you, but we don't use that term very much. Once in a while, we use it. It's the idea of a disorderly life. It's kind of chaotic. You lose self-control. Dissipated. Incorrigible. The one I like the best is it's wasted. You know, we're in this passage in Ephesians 5 where he says, walk in wisdom. Well, this is walking in wastefulness because everything falls off. And so the Apostle Paul is using a negative illustration to teach a positive truth. And so we get this whole idea because we're using an alcoholic illustration to get across a pneumatic truth. Now, Paul puts a very strong contrastive statement there. This NIV says instead, some of your Bibles may put a but, and it's an extremely contrastive concept. Do not get drunk with wine, but instead be filled with the Spirit. What does that mean, be filled with the Spirit? What does that look like? How do you recognize it? Well, what I would like to do is take that whole concept of being filled with the Spirit and break it down into four bite-sized chunks. And we'll eat it one by one by one, and hopefully it will stick in our thinking and our minds. And each of these starts with the letter C, and make it even easier. When we talk about being filled with the Spirit, we're talking about control. When we are filled with an emotion, we are controlled by that emotion. When we're filled with fear, we're controlled by fear. When we are filled with anger, we're controlled by anger. When we're filled with alcohol, we are controlled by alcohol. Another way of saying that is kind of like being on a lake in a sailboat. And you have this tall sail, and the wind fills that sail and moves the boat. It controls the boat. I brought another illustration here with me. Brought my favorite leather glove. I can lay the glove there and say, pick up the book. Pick up something heavy. Wave at marathon class. Nothing happens. But I can take that glove and I can slip it on my hand. And I can pick up the book. I can wave at the class because the glove is filled with a hand. And God has created us to be filled with His Spirit. And when we put our faith and trust in Jesus, the Spirit comes into us. But then it's up to us to allow Him to control us. That is the genius of the Christian life. And so the first C is that of control. When he says be filled with the Spirit, be controlled by the Spirit. The second one is that of command. Just as we saw the first part of the verse, do not be drunk with wine. That's a command. He comes to the second one, be filled with the Spirit. That is a command. It's not a suggestion. It's a command. I am responsible to allow the Spirit to fill me. You are responsible to allow the Spirit to fill and control you. It is a command. And when I don't, it's wrong. Third C is compliance. When we are filled with the Spirit means we comply with the Spirit. We yield to the Spirit. We let the Spirit work in our lives and maneuver us and control us. That is the genius of being filled with the Spirit. Now, when you put your faith in Christ, the Spirit comes into your life, lives in your life. But then as I walk by the Spirit, I need to allow the Spirit move through me. Now, I have all of the Spirit. The question is, does the Spirit have all of me? And that's a decision we've got to make momentarily. Which brings us to the fourth word, starting with the letter C, and that's complete. In other words, you're either filled with the Spirit or you are not filled with the Spirit. It's like most light switches. It's either on or off. Now, some of you think, yeah, we've got these dimmer switches. It doesn't work with this illustration. It's either on or off. And we can be at a church like Stonebriar, enjoying the music, enjoying the teaching, and by the time we get to the parking lot, we can be grousing at our wife. What happened to the filling of the Spirit? It just went out the window. Now, the other illustration, I say it's intermittent. It's like the windshield wipers. I love those intermittent windshield wipers. But I can be filled with the Spirit, and I can be not filled with the Spirit. I can be filled with the Spirit, and I can be unfilled with the Spirit. It's not like, well, I'm about a third filled today. Well, I'm about 50-50. Well, maybe I'm 7/8 today. No, it's either filled or not filled. It's complete, one way or the other. We're looking at Ephesians 5:18. Do not be drunk with wine, it's debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit. And we've been trying to unpack that. But let me take that to another level here to really stick into our thinking. Let me advance the slide here. Alcoholic spirits and the Holy Spirit. You ever think about that? Spirits, plural, and the Holy Spirit, singular. I want you to notice that the genius of God and the Apostle Paul putting this together. What a beautiful, incredible illustration. We find, number one, that both refer to influences other than yourself. Alcohol, the Holy Spirit. It's outside of me. It's something that is not normally in there. Number two, both influences are greater than us. Alcohol will be greater than you. Now, you may be a godly person, but if you pour in a fifth, it's going to take control of you. I don't care what you've done. It's powerful stuff. The Holy Spirit is powerful. It's greater than us. It is God Almighty working through people like you and me, humans. Number three, both happen due to voluntary submission. The alcoholic takes the glass, brings it to his mouth, and drinks. Slowly volunteering his life. The Christian needs to voluntarily submit their life to the Spirit of God to allow him to work through them. Number four, both are maintained by reinforcement. The alcoholic becomes an alcoholic because he has had a history of drinking. If he needs to drink every day, he becomes an alcoholic, and it's reinforced over that pattern. That's why it's so difficult, because it's an addiction to them. And that's why a lot of the programs are there to help them break that addiction. We too, when we walk by the Spirit, it's maintained by reinforcement. Hearing these truths again, reminding ourselves of these things. Spending time in God's Word, spending time in small groups, worshiping, all those things are reinforcing that we need the Spirit of God to work in and through us. And lastly, number five, both result in losing control of the self. And that's our big problem. It's the self. The alcoholic loses self. We lose self as well. Now, I've attempted to nail this truth down in your thinking. I want to get down really, really firm in your thinking, because I don't want you to forget it. Now, the big question is, how do I know when I'm filled? Tell me, Pastor, how do I know that the Spirit is filling me? When we drive our cars, we look at the gauge and see the tank is either empty or half or third or whatever it is. We know what to do. Someone who is a diabetic can test their blood. They have low blood sugar, high blood sugar, everything else. They know what to do as a result. How do we as believers know we are filled with the Spirit? That's the big question. In verses 19, 20, and 21 in Ephesians 5, we find five participles. Participles are half verbs, half adjectives. They tell us how the main verb is carried out, lived out, and operating. The main verb is be filled with the Spirit. How do I know that? He gives us five participles that help us say, okay, that's what this is all about. Now, I've made this even more simple for you. I've taken down the five into three participles. If you're like me, you can maybe remember three things as opposed to three things or five things. So let's move into, get this, okay, 5:19. He says, speak to one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. sing and make music in your heart to the Lord. Now, many times we recognize participles because they have an ing ending. We could translate this, speaking to one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Singing and making music in your heart to the Lord. And different translations have done things a little bit differently here. But I'm going to take this and kind of focus in on the whole musical singing aspect that demonstrates that we've got the filling of the Spirit. Now, as we look at this, the first one it says is speak. And yes, I understand speaking is different than singing. But in the Greek language, speaking is a very expansive term. It's the Greek word laleo. And we hear it in English in the words like la 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 la. That's where it comes from. Laleo. It speaks of birds that are singing. It speaks of thunder pealing across, trumpets sounding, all those kinds of things. So within this particular context, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart, it has a singing concept. So to make this really simple, I'm taking these three participles and bringing it down to one, basically singing. Wow. When we have a song on our heart, a song in our mouth, a song on our lips, it's an indication the Spirit is filling us. Wow. Music is powerful. You guys have already mentioned it. My wife and I sensed the same thing this morning. It's always good, but sometimes it's better than other time. It's like, and so we felt it. It sensed it, and we were drawn into it, and we worshiped the Lord together. Now, have you noticed that music is a big part of worship services? Have you ever thought, why? We have all these people coming from all different walks of life, all over the Metroplex, and they sit there in those seats. We want the Spirit to begin to work, and so we move that through music and singing, all those kinds of good things. Now, notice there's three different kinds of songs. Psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Psalms. Pastor Murphy has been going through Psalm 19. He's been challenged to read it. Have you ever heard Psalm 19 sung? Yeah. How about Psalm 23? And the list can go on. Now, we have the lyrics in our Bible, but we just don't have the notes. And so talented people have put this to music. Hymns are songs written to God in praise. They're poetic and they're used. And we sing those songs on a regular basis. In fact, Stephen Kim, what does he do on a regular basis? We sing. I didn't do that. You don't want me to sing in front of this microphone. Spiritual songs are songs of testimony, songs of joy, songs of blessing that take the heart and just kind of lift it up and proclaim it to the Lord. Now, I want you to notice, he says, speak to one another. So it's, I do it to you, you do it to me. It's a reciprocal thing. And we do it through psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. And then he continues that whole concept by singing and making music in your heart to the Lord, to one another, and to the Lord. And we normally call that worship. Over the years, as a pastor, there's times when I felt like I was crawling into the worship center. I was dealing with some issues in my life, issues and problems and so forth. I wasn't in a very worshipful mood, and yet I was the pastor, and I was supposed to speak and teach and everything else. And I can sit there, and the music starts, and things begin to change. Have you ever sensed that? It's all because the Spirit is beginning to work in my heart, my life. Other times, I can listen to songs in the worship service, and my eyes will fill with tears. because I'm entering into the worship of my God. That's the power of music. And it's telling me there's a filling of the Spirit in there. As a senior pastor, I worked with many, many worship leaders over the years. We would go over the last Sunday service. We would plan for the next Sunday. We would talk about future sermon series and all the things we wanted to do, and we have these great meetings. And many times I would tell them, you know, do you know what really makes a successful worship service? And depending on who they are, they got a little bit nervous once in a while because they wanted to be successful. They wanted to please me, and I was the senior pastor, and they're having this meeting with me. I said, this is what makes a worshipful service successful, in my opinion. One facet. I find myself singing that song, humming that song in the shower, in the car, when I walk, whatever it is, because it's going through my mind. And we're reinforcing these truths because we want the filling of the Spirit in the worship service, but we also want it throughout the week. And they would say, oh, okay. And away we go to it. So we're looking at how to refill the thank tank, are we not? Okay, first evidence, first dial, according to this, which, by the way, there's other ones in the scripture, but we're going to focus in on these three because they're right here in the context of Ephesians 5:18. The second one, well, it's really the third one, but I'm going to call it the second one. You understand shortly. Verse 21, we'll jump down. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Did you notice that? Submit to one another. It means humbly submitting ourselves to other people. In other words, it's not all about me. Submission is an old Greek term that means to rank under. It came ultimately from the military situation where they have various rankings. And based on where you were in that ranking, you did what you're supposed to do based on who was telling you what to do it. My son is a major in the Air Force, and he's very sensitive to the rankings. It's totally different than my wiring. I was a pastor, and I looked at every person as important. I didn't care what their rank was. They were important to God, so they're important to me. And so it's kind of a different mindset. But we learn to submit to one another in a positive way. And as a pastor, there's a way that I had to submit to my congregation. I mean, I was there to lead and to pastor and to move them and move forward. But I could only go as fast as they were able to follow with me. So I had to submit to a number of things. As a pastor, I had a board. I had to submit to my board. And some 20 years ago, the board sat me down and said, Pastor, lose the tie. All these precious ties I've worn since Dallas Seminary days. Why? Because the culture had changed. I wore it to look presentable and respectable and everything else. But they said the culture has changed, and it makes you look like you're better than other people. And I didn't want to do that. I want to be a relatable pastor. And so I lost the tie. So I had to submit to their wisdom and their counsel in situations like that. Now, the Apostle Paul picks up that whole submissive theme and carries it through. You go to Ephesians 5, verse 22. Wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands. Verse 25, husbands, love your wives. And in loving our wives, there's a place of submitting to their desires and their will. In chapter 6, verse 1, children, obey your parents. So they need to submit to parental authority. Verse 4, fathers, do not exasperate your children. We need to learn to submit to where the child is and not exasperate them unduly. He moves into verse 5, slaves, obey your earthly masters. They needed to submit. Verse 9, and masters, treat your slaves in the same way. So he takes that whole submission concept and takes it all the way through the household and the workplace. So what we're finding is the second way to determine if we're filled with the Spirit is, do we have a submissive attitude? Or is it all about me, my way, or no way at all? Now we come to number three, this is where we started in verse 20. Always giving thanks. Always. To God the Father in everything. In the name or in the power or the strength and the identity of our Lord Jesus Christ. He wants me to have a thankful attitude at all times. Does that mean we thank God for the bad things that happen? No, not necessarily. We give thanks to God in the situation, no matter what may be happening. And it's through the strength, the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we are been blessed with so many things, but yet we can find so many complaints. My foot did heal. I was very thankful for that. I'm thankful for a good podiatrist. I'm thankful for x-rays that said, yep, it's all better. I was thankful for the drug meloxicam. Reduces the swelling. I'm thankful that I learned a lesson. As one person said, you're not 10 years old anymore, Steve. I have to be careful. I'm thankful I learned the lesson that stools don't like me. And I treat them with great care. And by the way, we made it on a vacation, had no problems at all. You may be in a bad situation moving towards the end of November. We call it the Thanksgiving season. And your thanks may be tanking. How do you refill that tank? With the filling of the Spirit that is evidence with thanksgiving, submission, and with music on your heart. I've noticed that Marathon Class likes to do roving mic with microphone and camera and everything else. I can't finish a sermon like this without giving you an opportunity to publicly give thanks to God for something maybe very special. You do that to some degree anyway, but maybe we'll take it to another level. So I want you to think about that for a moment. We're going to wrap this up in just a moment. We got our people ready. But I want to finish up with a story about Martin Rinkert. You may be not aware who Martin Rinkert is. He's a pastor. He's a pastor in Germany in a little town called Eilenberg, which you probably haven't been there. I haven't been there either. But he pastored during a time when there was what we call the 30 Years' War in Europe, 1618 to 1648, probably one of the worst wars in European history. And he was right in the middle of it. Now, to make that even better, or should we say worse, there was a plague. It wasn't COVID-19. It was the Black Death. And in their small town, Eilenberg, one of the pastors got out of town. He didn't want to deal with this. Two other pastors died and left Martin Rinkert all by himself. As we study the history of Martin, we find that at one time he did 50 funerals on one day. Now, I've done my share of funerals. And after one, I feel like I've been kicked in the gut. You know, you enter the emotions of sadness and the family and the loss, all that. He did 50 of those. And in 1 year, he did nearly 4,500. Now, if anyone had a right to have an empty think tank, it would be Martin. And maybe there was times he did. But he wrote this song. And she's playing it, Joni. Thank you so much. It says, now thank we all our God with hearts and hands and voices, who wondrous things has done, in whom this world rejoices, who from our mother's arms has blessed us on our way with countless gifts of love, and still is ours today. I don't know about you, that does something for me. And my think tank begins to refill as I submit to him and allow his thanksgiving to come through me. Well, as I mentioned, I want to do roving mic. We've got Joseph over here. Do we have another person over here? Okay. And maybe there's something that is just really special you haven't shared before. And you can share it in front of the whole class with those who are watching on Zoom. And we can prepare ourselves for the next 11 days. Do I see some hands or a hand? Well, let me follow. Harry, you do. Okay, this side over here first. Doesn't make a difference. Okay, we got one here. Okay, great. Thank you, ma'am. You have to tell me your name.
Lee Alexander.
Okay, Leon. Okay.
I was born with an illness which led to the need for me to have 53 surgeries. And it was hard. It still is. But you know, I'm praising the Lord today because I can walk and function fairly well. There are certain things that I can't do, but you know, I look back on it and I think, only the Lord could have done that, could have been able to lead me and guide me with all the doctors and put all the people in place that and provided us with a way to pay for it, you know, with insurance and other things. I'm just grateful today that I can still get out this afternoon and walk for 30 minutes with my puppy and John.
Well, that's excellent. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Someone else on this side of the room? Okay, let's go to the center then. I don't see any hands waving. Okay, center, anybody here? Yes, right here in front, Betty. Okay. Right here, yeah.
Oh, there's Joseph. Thank you. I'm just thankful for the way the election has turned out. I don't know what is ahead. I have no idea. But have you ever stopped to think how we would feel if it had gone the other way? So I'm just praising God for today and for the way that it turned out.
Yes, yes. I think all America took a sigh of relief. Yes, right here, Grace.
I moved to Frisco 2 years ago from Los Angeles, specifically to Frisco to be near this church. And one of the things that right away I joined was WOW. And it's called Women of Worth for women who are alone. And I moved here alone. So it's been wonderful. And on Saturday, we had a luncheon together. So if you are a woman alone, I hope you join WOW. And I learned about WOW through this class.
Wow. Great. I love it. Grace, super. Got, so, okay, over here. Ma'am?
My name is Olga Vilmas, and about 10 years ago, maybe a little bit over 10 years ago, I had been to an examination into a hospital. And when I came out, instead of going that way out, I went straight, and I didn't know that they had changed that little, fountain to wonderful leaves, green leaves. And it was so nice, and I looked at it and went, and all of a sudden, bang, a steep curve, I stepped down on my foot. I didn't fall, but it felt like my brain was wiggling. Mm-hmm. And after a couple of weeks, I got so much pain, and I went for tests, and two doctors told me there's nothing wrong. But then why are those pains there? Then a couple of months, maybe about 2 months later, I had a car accident. And I came away with a broken neck. Oh, no. And when they wheeled me, my daughter told me, they told her that when they opened me up, it came like a faucet out. So there was something building up there before. So through this accident, I got relief from those pains. Yes, I have a fused neck. It was broken, but I'm living already 10 years with that.
Wow.
And I thank God for that.
Wow, what a story. Thank you so much. This is good, yeah. Okay, we got one right here. Yes.
It's getting close to a year now that Wayne Stiles announced his resignation as the teacher of this class. He became teacher in a kind of a no-brainer way and filling in for Stan as Stan was fading from the scene. I think all of us realized that this was going to be different this time in finding a replacement for our teacher. I just want to say a big thank you to the leadership of this class, to God who led them down through a pretty rocky road as they and we all sorted out who is going to lead this class from the pulpit up there. Mm-hmm. So thank you, class leaders, for sticking in there and hanging with those months that we couldn't make up our mind who it was going to be.
Great, yeah. Super, I've enjoyed Stephen Kim so much too. Okay, another one here. Let's go to this side over here. Oh, Jim, you get to say thank you too.
I was just sitting here thinking about all the blessings that have been provided to me and my family over the years, and then why me? And I was just thinking it's all because of my salvation, that I chose to accept the Lord as my Savior. And when I accepted him as a Savior, then I became under his control, and his blessings just flowed naturally. And I'm so thankful for that.
Great. Thank you so much, Jim. Now we'll go to this side over here. We got one right here. Joseph, you got it.
Hi, yes, Sharon and myself and Linda and two of her grandchildren, Riley and Morgan, just returned from Israel with Wayne Stiles, and we had a wonderful time, and it was a very safe time, and we're very thankful that it was all safe. And I'm also thankful for the Israeli people. We met a lot of them, and they would not ask for prayers for themselves. Interestingly, they would ask for prayers for Israel, and they were just so happy to see us, and I just thank God for all of those wonderful experiences and the blessings of seeing the Holy Land once again.
Great. Thank you so much. Anybody else over here? I see some. Oh, okay, way back. Ryan, I see that.
I'm Ryan Huckel. I don't know if I get through this. From the bottom of my heart, I give thanks constantly for you guys, every single person in this class. And I speak on behalf of our missionaries, because without you, they would have a harder time making it financially, spiritually, because you guys pray for them and you support them financially. And you do so just with such a giving heart. I praise God for what he's done through you, and I just say thank you.
Great. Thank you so much, Ryan. Anybody else? Okay, let's wrap it up. And Harry, I turn the baton back to you. Want me to close in prayer? Lord, we thank you for your Spirit. Lord, we thank you for the gift of the Spirit. And Lord, as we move into this Thanksgiving season, we pray that you reinforce this biblical truth in our thinking, that we need to allow your Spirit to control us so that the singing, the thankfulness, the submission will naturally flow. Thank you for these stories, Lord, that people have shared. They've gone through incredible, challenging times, and yet they give you all the praise and all the thanksgiving. Lord, we pray that we would radiate among our family, among our friends, our church family, that we have had this quality time with the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Steve. It was well-timed. Good message. Appreciate that. Until next week, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen. Table, over here for Christmas tickets.